ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from the Info headquarters here this Friday afternoon. Hope everybody's doing well. We got a very big show for you today. We're joined by Wid Lyman in the next hour. He is there on the ground in Minneapolis for Border Hawk News, capturing some of the footage that's gone viral over the last couple days as the revolution continues and only gets bigger. We got a lot of videos to cover as well, including Prime Minister of Canada and former Bank of England head, Mark Carney, announcing that their cooperation with China would be a great step forward for the New World Order, later being asked to define what he means by the New World Order. I think we all know. But I think we'll visit that pretty much off the top, but we'll open up the phone lines for your calls as well. Let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch. For Friday, the 16th of January, 2026, Trump floats new tariffs in push to acquire Greenland. President Donald Trump said he may impose tariffs on countries if they don't go along with Greenland. We need Greenland for national security, so I may do that, Trump said at the White House. The comments came as the Supreme Court could deliver its ruling on the legality of Trump's reciprocal fentanyl-based tariffs. And, of course, the negotiations over Greenland continue. Gulf states and Turkey warned Trump strikes on Iran could lead to major conflict. This is at least one of the reasons why we are not currently embroiled in World War III. The warnings of chaos from the longstanding U.S. allies appeared to have helped persuade Trump late Wednesday to hold off for the moment on a military assault. In the case of Saudi Arabia, its reticence led it to deny the U.S. use of its airspace to mount any attacks. Continuing discussions, the Saudi Arabian foreign minister, Prince Faisal bin Farhan, conferred by phone with his counterparts from Iran, Oman, and Turkey on Thursday. Iran remains politically apart from the Gulf states, partly owing to its continued support for its weakened network of regional proxies known as the Axis of Resistance, and its refusal to back a two-state solution for Palestine, as well as disputes over three islands in the Gulf claimed by the UAE, a claim backed by the Gulf Cooperation Council. So again, where it looks like we dodged that particular bullet for the time being. But of course, this could all be an elaborate scheme to get Iran to lower its defenses before the attack really does begin. But speaking of the Middle East, Gaza technocratic panel meets for the first time as officials fear it's hobbled from the get-go. Members of the National Committee for the Administration of the Gaza Strip, NCAG, held their first meeting on Thursday in Cairo, an Arab diplomat for the Times of Israel said. The 15-member committee of Palestinian technocrats, headed by former Palestinian Authority Deputy Minister Ali Shath, were joined by Nikolay Mladenov, who will be overseeing their work on behalf of the Board of Peace, headed by U.S. President Donald Trump. The committee also held a FaceTime call with Trump's top aides, Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff, who've led the administration's Gaza policy, the diplomat said. So again, I'm up in the air about this so far. I think if there's anywhere I actually don't mind the term technocrat being used, it's who's going to administer Gaza. Because while we use the term technocrat to refer to basically this untouchable super elite of people who own tech companies and are manipulating the world to serve them, in this case, technocrat is being used in its dictionary definition to simply mean people that are there to do a specific job factually. And that's it, right? You just put somebody, you go, you're good at water systems. That's what you're in charge of now. We don't need a Hamas member or a PLO member or a Mossad operative in that role. We just need someone who can do the thing and just get it done. So maybe that is what the Middle East needs. Maybe they do need a little less, emotional and political baggage in all their decisions. Meanwhile, quote, emergency intervention. This is a great thing from Infowars.com. Trump to cap residential electric bills by forcing tech giants to pay for soaring power costs. Back in August, when the American population was just waking up to the dire consequences the exponentially growing army of data centers spawned across the country was having on residential electricity bills, we said that the chart of U.S. CPI would soon become the most popular, but not in a good way, chart in the financial realm. Trump is basically putting a stop to the big tech companies operating on American soil with American taxpayer money while keeping all of the benefits. That's very good to see. And also the reason that climate change isn't a thing anymore. They figured out the way to rule the world needed a lot of electricity, so they're doing that now. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Watching the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. It's our Friday edition. I mean, we'll open up the phone lines probably halfway through the show. We're going to be joined by Wid Lyman for a little bit in the next hour. He's on the ground there in Minnesota. He's not going to have too long with us, but he's been capturing a lot of the videos that have gone viral recently. And we'll show you some of those and talk to him about what it's like to experience it on the ground. Of course, we have a follow-up to the story yesterday about the stolen weapons cache from the ICE vehicle. Gang member arrested for stealing rifle from FBI car during Minneapolis riot. A member of the Hispanic gang, I believe it was the Latin Kings. The Latin Kings gang, which had previously vowed to shoot immigration officers on site, was seen on video, posted to social media, breaking into a federal vehicle and stealing a rifle on Wednesday night as clashes between protesters and federal agents continued in Minnesota. Raul Gutierrez, can be seen smashing open a weapon locker and removing the firearm before fleeing the scene. Journalist Nick Sortor, who posted the video, told Laura Ingram on Fox the man was not arrested at the scene but was picked up later by authorities. He actually wasn't arrested last night, Sortor said. The Minneapolis police didn't bother chasing the vehicle that had just stolen a high-powered rifle out of the FBI car. And again, just an amazing but sort of common event where you've got leftist criminal agitators, rioters, so-called protesters, committing some crime right in front of the police, usually against a right-winger. The right-winger's like, hey, those guys just assaulted me. Will you arrest them? The police are like, no, we're not going to do that, actually. Only in this case, they were stealing automatic weapons from the FBI. And I would hope that all of the people involved would get arrested, not just the guy who made off with the rifle. But that's at least good to see. We actually do have some good news when it comes to immigration these days, and it looks like at least some of Trump's policies are having a positive effect. As the fentanyl deaths have basically collapsed over the last year, and it's pretty incredible. The chaos is still going and still basically getting only worse. Gang member arrested for stealing rifle from FBI car during Minneapolis riot. Maybe one of the only arrests that we've seen from these events, but. It's been absolutely insane. I guess we should save most of that coverage for when Wid is with us. We'll get the on-the-ground view of it, and then I can talk more about that later. A protester lost his eye, her eye. I don't know, it's a transgender person. I don't want to get into to all of that. But let's start, actually, with clip 27. Let's start with clip 27, because this is something that we don't see much of anymore. It is the admission by the people in power that they are, in fact, engaged in a global conspiracy to create a so-called, quote-unquote, New World Order. And this is a classic refrain, sort of first popularized, I think, by George H.W. Bush, who would use this phrase, it's a New World Order. We have to prepare for this New World Order. Which, of course, was always the plan. Like, the old world order was still a world order. The world order that was established after World War II with Bretton Woods and just the financial construct of the world as it exists today was designed specifically to lead to the eventual coalescing of all of these national governments into one super a national government. And each step of the way, World War I, you got League of Nations, World War II, you got the UN. Here we are on the cusp of World War III with our politicians talking about a new world order, as they have always intended to create. Here's Mark Carney, former, I forget what they're called, governor of Bank of England, former governor of the Bank of England, who's like the Fed's crappy older brother, who's now the Prime Minister of Canada. This was after a very wide-ranging meeting between Canada and China over trade and a whole bunch of other stuff, and he mentioned how this agreement with China will help in the building of this so-called new world order. Let's watch.
As you mentioned, mine is the first visit of a Canadian prime minister to China in nearly a decade. The world has changed much since that last visit. And I believe the progress that we have made in the partnership sets us up well for the new world order. It's a partnership with new focus and greater depth and a sense of purpose.
I mean, he could not have said that in a more
realizing its promise.
Villainous way. Can we go back 10 seconds? It's one thing if you're like, you know, this new world order that we're creating, but he's like, the new world order. This is like villain stuff. Let's watch that again.
For the new world order.
What?
It's a partnership with new focus and greater depth and a sense of purpose. And I look forward to realizing its promise and building on it in the years to come. Partnership that leverages our strengths to create greater stability, security, sustainability, and prosperity for all our peoples. And I look forward to this working session to advance those objectives. Thank you very much.
I don't know who that guy next to him was. Scott Moe, I think his name was. I just want to figure out whether the look he was giving him was, what the hell did you just say, the New World Order? Or whether that was, we're not supposed to say that, Mark. I want to know what that reaction was exactly. Scott Moe, 15th Premier of Saskatchewan. He's in favor of this deal with China. I'm just wondering how fully conquered the Canadian government is. Of course, we already know because they literally brag about the participation, the number of ministers that come out of the World Economic Forum. I wonder whether that look was, you know, we're not supposed to admit about the New World Order, or whether that was, did that guy just say the New World Order? Now, it used to be that the media was read in on this stuff and would know not to make a big deal out of this, to just sort of drop these phrases in casually to get people used to them, get them normalized, but never expand or, you know, describe what exactly you're talking about when you say New World Order. Because, you know, when you're doing things that represent a monumental change in the very nature of humanity, it's best to achieve that by pretending it's everything but that. That is just a casual sort of normal thing, that it's unavoidable, just a natural consequence of time progressing. Gee, it looks like we're going to have a world government now, and that's just the way it is. Because you want to downplay the fact that, again, you are forcibly changing the character and behavior and nature of humanity as it's existed for all of time. You want to change that into a technocratic slave system. And if people knew that, they wouldn't be in favor of it. So you want to get them used to it. You want to get them inured to it, where they don't even notice it's happening. So you have to talk about it, but you want to downplay it. Point is that politicians or reporters or whoever else would use this phrase, New World Order, in the past, and nobody would ask, what the hell do you mean, a new world order? What does that – it sounds like you're trying to conquer the world is what that sounds like, sir. Do you mind expanding on that idea? That never used to happen. Well, it's happening now, and it's very good to see. As if we needed it explained to us, as if we can't see for ourselves what the new world order looks like and why it's being built and what its objectives are. We don't exactly need it explained to us, but in case we wanted it explained, it's actually – A reporter asked about it, clip 19 here. This is a reporter asking, what do you mean by New World Order, sir? Let's watch.
Prime Minister Brian Platt with Bloomberg News. Yesterday when you met with Premier Li, one of the things you said in the public remarks was this partnership, Canada and China, this new partnership sets us up well for the New World Order. What did you mean by that? What is the New World Order?
Well, it's a great question, Brian, because I think the world is still determining what that order is going to be. And let's be clear what we're talking about first and foremost, which is what is going to govern global trade? What is the role of the WTO going to be? How important are bilateral deals such as the one we're developing, plurilateral deals, if I can use that term, trans-Pacific partnership, potential linkages between trans-Pacific partnership and the EU? Where is financial regulation, payment system regulation going to fit into that? All of these aspects, the architecture, the multilateral system that has been developing these is being eroded, to use a polite term, undercut, use another term. So the question is, what gets built in that place? How much of a patchwork is it? How much is it just on a bilateral basis? Or where do like-minded countries in certain areas? So like-minded countries, just to be clear, doesn't mean you agree on everything. Aspects, for example, on digital trade or agricultural trade, climate finance as another area, to move into areas of geostrategy, geosecurity, you will have different coalitions that are formed. So what this partnership does is in areas, for example, of clean energy, conventional energy, agriculture, as we were just talking about, and financial services, which we've talked less about, but the evolution of the global financial system, the role of the renminbi over time, the evolution of cross-border payments. I know it all sounds very dry, except for your organization, which I think takes an interest in it. These are important elements of how the system is going to work. And look, the expectation is that rather than these being developed necessarily through the IMF, WTO, and other multilateral organizations, it is going to be coalitions that develop them, not for the world, but for subsectors of the world.
So, a couple important things about this. First of all, this is a surrender, in a way. This is an admission of failure by the world elite. The New World Order that they envisioned when George H.W. Bush said it in 1992 was a one-world government where all the national governments would willingly lead their constituency like lambs to the slaughter. They would willingly join into this great experiment of collaboration that would actually be a, you know, well-organized and highly orchestrated manipulation to create a one-world government that would supersede national governments. Now, we defeated that. We actually defeated that in a tangible and real way. And that, at least, is one thing that you've got to give Trump credit for, is that he is not putting value in and is therefore, just by virtue of not participating, destroying these international restrictions, barriers, deadlines, these things that stop us from just doing what we want. They're unfair. They're organized and designed to deprive us of our prosperity and our glory and to hand it out to third world nations. We actually defeated that with Donald Trump, and the people of Europe, you know, rose up with things like Brexit to stop all of this. And so now they're having to create a sort of backup plan where you have all of these sort of disseparate but collaborating, instead of one world government, you have like 10 little collaboration networks going on. And that's what he's describing here. So again, it's good because this is the type of stuff that they used to say all the time back in the 90s. And it's the type of thing where if you're listening to them, if you're actually listening to the people doing the stuff, they tell you what they're doing. It's not even secret. The classic Alex Jones quote where he says, you know, I'm calling out what they call the New World Order. Right? Because the whole thing was they are calling it the New World Order. They are telling you what they're going to do. And when you watch that clip of Mark Carney, he's explaining it. He's going, well, you know, national concerns are don't even enter into the equation for him. It's, well, how are we going to maintain the international control while the globalist systems are being dismantled? We're going to have to create backup alternative systems that are maybe, you know, bilateral, multilateral, right? So he's talking about multilateral agreements and this the financial network that needs to be maintained to handle all of this. And, of course, it all has to do with energy and resources, which is why, of course, climate change was such a valuable tool to wield against in developed countries in the favor of developing countries, even though that's kind of gotten inverted because you need cheap energy to develop. But it was never supposed to work from the beginning, right? It's not like these plans were supposed to work and have accidentally failed. It's that the outcomes that were deliberately bad were discovered and fought back against and argued back against and exposed by organizations like InfoWars, people like Alex Jones. We woke up to it. We fought back against it. We organized and politicized it and defeated it. And so now they're, you know, having to work their backup, but they're not being very subtle about it. And of course, it's not like you could look at anything happening in Canada and try to make the argument that anything the Canadian government is doing is for the benefit of the Canadian people. So what's it really about? It's really about control. And that's a key thing to understand. And it's something that we should probably hammer a little bit more. But, you know, we made everybody laughed and just sort of made a joke about the fact that Bill Gates suddenly did a 180 heel turn. Yeah, you know, this whole thing I've been scaremongering about, spending all of my money on, trying to change the course of the entire world on the basis of these projections. Well, it turns out it doesn't matter actually anymore. So we can chill about that. And you know why, right? It's because the climate change agenda was clashing with the AI agenda. Because they finally realized, as in got to the point where AI was capable of running all of these massive sophisticated systems, the large language models, but you need a ton of processing power to do that. You need a ton of energy to power the computers to do the AI. So it doesn't matter to them whether they're killing the Earth or saving the Earth. What matters is that it allows them to control humanity to a greater degree. That's it. That's all. So if telling humanity that the world is being destroyed and you have to, you know, shut down coal power plants and all this other stuff, otherwise the ocean temperatures are raising and the dolphins are going to die, like, fine, do that. Whatever. Lean on that psychological wedge if that's what's convenient at the time. But as soon as that becomes a barrier to the energy you need to power the AI programs that will really do a good job of, you know, solidifying, codifying every one of your evil schemes into, you know, unquestionable computer output, then you drop the climate change thing and you just go for the high energy option. It's just whatever's better at controlling people. That's all. That's the only, you know, aspect of it that matters to them. Canada PM hails strategic partnership with China to adapt to new global realities. Yeah, new global realities. Remember, it's always presented as a reaction. It's always presented as just something that's happening. It's not like these guys themselves have made plans and agreements that have set us on this course. It's just, you know, things are changing, you know, agreements are being made, trade routes are being established. It's just sort of happening like a flower growing in a field. It's not that these people have set us on this course and are now changing our laws so that we can, you know, better serve them. Addressing Xi in the Great Hall of People, Carney said, quote, together we can build on the best of what this relationship has been in the past to create a new one and adapt a new one adapted to new global realities. Now that we've sold off all of our manufacturing to China and now that we've opened up the borders and allowed millions of Chinese people to go into Canada and buy up all of the houses, you know, crushing the will of the Canadian people and collapsing their birth rates. Well, now we have to deal with that situation. You know, now that we've created this unsustainable situation, now everything has to change to deal with this new reality we find ourselves in. Now they're doing it. These are choices being made. They have decided to sell us out to China, and now they're codifying, solidifying, making permanent to that reality. And by the way, it's got to be in here, right? The German Chancellor Merz, Friedrich Merz, has come out and announced that, it turns out it was a terrible mistake to destroy all of their country's nuclear power plants. Gee, who could have known? Who could have known what a terrible mistake it was to deliberately cripple your own country's energy production by taking offline and physically destroying the power plants that are the greenest source of energy the world has ever discovered? But who could have known that listening to an autistic Swedish child to determine the course of your country's resource management and electricity production was maybe not the best idea? Germans Merz called nuclear phase-out, quote, serious strategic mistake. Conservative leader criticizes previous governments for creating the world's costliest energy transition. Transition into what? The question remains. Transition into what? Maybe we need to bring in my climate change pitch meeting, because there have been a couple things recently. For one, Germany discovered that destroying all of its nuclear power plants for no reason wasn't a great idea, especially if you're about to go to war with the country that provides your natural gas. We could have told you that, you know, they act surprised about any of this. It's crazy. It's why it's valuable that places like InfoWars are here, because if they were the arbiters of truth, everybody would have to believe that nobody knew this was a bad idea, that everybody was in favor of detonating your nuclear power plants on the whims of an autistic Swedish girl. Like, no, we all knew this was bad. We all knew this was stupid. We all told you this was a bad idea. You don't get to now turn around and act like nobody knew. It was on purpose. This was the designed outcome. What are you talking about? This was a strategic mistake. This is exactly what you always intended, to destroy Germany through these arbitrary climate change initiatives that do literally nothing but cripple and hamper your country. Like, you're not saving anything. You're not helping anyone. You're just shooting yourself in the foot. Gee, who could have thought it was a strategic mistake to load a bullet into a gun, cock it, aim it at my foot, and fire? You know, we all thought it was such a grand idea at the time. We thought, what a noble experiment we're carrying out here. I'm going to load the gun. I'm going to blow my own kneecap off. And somehow that's going to help save the earth. Like, what are you talking about, you absolute morons? And then yesterday, I didn't even get to the story, but in California, they're cutting down 3,000-year-old oaks to clear a giant swath of land to build solar panels on. Just, again, it's like, can we come up with one climate change solution that doesn't involve deliberately destroying thousands and thousands of trees? Like, what are we doing here? It's like it is so insane. It really is hard to wrap your mind around. I mean, the stuff they're proposing and doing and carrying out, I mean, from blocking out the sun to destroying your nuclear power plants to cutting down, I think the latest count in Scotland was like 10 million trees or 12. I think it was 12 million trees were cut down so they could build solar panels. Or they're cutting down trees and just burying them like Bill Gates. If you can't tell all of this is a scam, I don't know, then you must be the criminal, because like everybody gets this is a scam when you realize making a new world order might be a serious strategic mistake. That's a good one. Crew's memeing it up back there. It's the new world order. It's just like the old new world order, except somehow worse. Except somehow even gayer and makes even less sense and is dominated by China. How about we go back to the old world order where we just kick these guys' butts, tar and feather them?
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in. In people who can't make it, it can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new products, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. It dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take this, it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after The Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The War Room, brought to you, of course, by TheAlexJonesStore.com. By the way, have you tried out our new smelling salts, War Cry? I'm not actually going to try them out right now. They do make you cry. Is that why it's called War Cry? It made me cry yesterday. In a good way. In a very good way. If you've never tried smelling salts, I don't even know how to describe it to you. It just, it wakes you up. They're incredible. And these are maximum strength, says right there on the bottle, War Cry. And they are incredibly powerful. So go try yours now. You activate it with about a cap full of water, shake it up, leave it to sit for about a minute, then open up the top, take a whiff of it, and feel the power of War Cry. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison. If you want to let them know who sent you, today is the last day of our Ford Raptor giveaway. So every dollar spent at TheAlexJonesStore.com gets you 50 times entries to win. That plus our F-250 giveaway as well. So it's the last day to take advantage of that crossover event and get basically two times entries. Well, two times or 50 times entries, right? So you get 50 times entries to both trucks for every dollar spent. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com. All right, we'll move on from the New World Order for now. Well, not really. I mean, this is all involved in the New World Order, but we could go on and on about it. I mean, when you have Chancellor of Germany saying, you know, it might have not been a great idea to shut down our ability to create energy on the demands of ridiculous purple-haired idiots. But they did, but you did do that. So, you know, it's one of these things that it's like, it's just the same as COVID. It's the same as everything else. They want you to believe that you live in a world where nobody thought it was a bad idea to destroy the nuclear power plants. If we lived in a world like that, it would be not okay. Like, tons of people knew this was stupid. A lot of people knew this was wrong. They were censored. They were kicked off of the internet. They were beaten down with claims of so-called experts that are constantly wrong about everything. And it really is very similar to COVID. Exactly the same thing. Gee, who knew that shutting down schools would have a negative impact on children's education? I don't know. Literally everyone who's not a complete brain-dead idiot controlled entirely by fraudulent propaganda. Like, everybody who can think for 5 minutes knew this was going to be bad. And anybody who looked into the data for 5 minutes more knew it not only would be damaging, it would be much more damaging than the other alternative. But they silence us. They censor us. They de-rank us and keep our reach minimal. And then they get to come out 5 years later, admit we were right, but pretend like we're all discovering this all together right now, even though we'd been saying it for the decade prior. Okay. After 3 years without nuclear power, Germany is changing its mind. Why? Why did they do it? Why are they changing their mind now? Because they were pursuing an agenda of global control designed on the artificial, false, fabricated concept of climate change, and that human existence is, by its very nature, destructive and evil and has to be limited, and have now decided that AI can do a much more efficient job if you just hand over all the surveillance networks and give it control of the financial networks. You don't have to trick people into anything. You just control them from that point on. So they need the electricity to run the control grid that destroying the electricity was supposed to, you know, help with. It's very evil. It's all very, very evil. And we have stories like this. Did we learn nothing? NIH funds Wuhan-style bat lab at Colorado State University. It's been 4 years since the world was brought to its knees by a virus that many evidence-based reports now indicate leaked from a laboratory in Wuhan, China. You would think the federal government and the experts in public health establishment would have learned their lesson. You'd be wrong. Colorado State University is moving full steam ahead with a massive taxpayer-funded Bat Resource Center. The new facility, which is bankrolled by the NIH, the very same agency that funded dangerous research in Wuhan, will import and breed exotic bats to experiment on them with deadly pathogens. And, you know, this is one of those situations where it's obviously a bad idea, but it's like a number of different threads of, you know, civilizational arson all aligning, all being braided together, right? Because would it be that big of a deal to have, you know, a bat laboratory in Colorado? Usually not. I mean, it's one of the things. If you're going to have scientists dealing with Ebola, guess what? You got to have Ebola samples on site, which usually isn't an issue if you have a student population, a research population, a science population that's guided by meritocracy, that has very strict standards of truth and refuses to deviate from those. It wouldn't really be a big issue. The problem is that we are now running extremely dangerous experiments in laboratories staffed by H-1B visas or by Chinese students who cheat on their exams and come over completely unqualified to take a position from what would be a more qualified person. So that's what I'm worried about. It doesn't really concern me that much if, you know, they have a lab, because, I mean, the evil that comes out of those labs aren't accidents, typically. They're on purpose. They're weapons designed and then released, like Lyme disease So, I mean, you know, you don't have to worry about the, if it has an accident, like if there's an accident in the lab, yeah, that's bad. But when everything goes perfectly, that's almost even worse because they're creating and releasing these viruses. But I really worry about, you know, the possibility of escaping diseases because we saw what happened in Wuhan and we're developing the same culture that led to the outbreak at Wuhan. Now, I believe the outbreak at Wuhan was on purpose for a number of different reasons, but let's take the semi-official story as plausible, right? The official story is either we don't know where it came from or it was almost certainly naturally derived, but that's a lie, right? The official story is just an obvious lie. Officially, they lend credence to but won't actually acknowledge the fact that it came from a lab leak. And then the unofficial reality that I believe is that it was all on purpose. It was leaked from Wuhan by design at a specific time to have certain effects on the presidential election and the economy and all sorts of stuff. But let's just take that middle road. Let's say, okay, this was an accidental leak from Wuhan. The reason why that is at least somewhat believable is because the Wuhan lab had had a series of safety violations in the years leading up to the Wuhan lab leak, including people being bitten by infected animals and not reporting it, having, you know, mistakes being made where their protective material would be damaged somehow and they'd be exposed to things they weren't exposed to. And so why wasn't the lab shut down? Well, because in a communist nation, it's more important that you are perceived to be succeeding rather than actually succeed. That if you were to report safety violations, you would be punished for that. So they don't report them. So they cover them up because they want to make it look like they're super successful and have no issues, because all that matters to these people is what it looks like to those above them, because those above them dictate whether they get money or continue to operate or whatever else. So it's not a, it becomes other, rather than a game about how do we make this as safe as possible. And hey, you know, it might make us look bad, but if we don't say anything, this could, you know, kill thousands of people. So, you know, we're going to go say what happened, admit that we messed up, because we know that if we don't do that, we could start a pandemic. We could start an epidemic around the whole world. Wouldn't that be terrible? So we'll do what's right. They don't do what's right. They do what is expedient in the communist system, which is cover it up, pretend it never happened, lie about it, and punish anybody that tries to blow the whistle. And that's sort of where we're going, isn't it? That's sort of where we're at this point, right? I mean, when we discover that certain populations literally can't make the grade, aren't doing as well as other populations, we decide to stop grading. We decide actually the better thing to do is not accurately judge our success and then make changes if we, you know, fail to achieve our objectives. No, it's just give everybody a 100 and pretend we're doing great. Hey, crime's out of control. I know. Let's stop arresting people. That way the crimes don't show up on the statistics. It doesn't matter that it's more dangerous. It looks less dangerous, and that's what actually matters. It doesn't matter if the students are now all failing. It looks like they're all passing. So isn't that better? Right? When you used to judge people, when you used to actually grade papers or tests, half the kids would pass, half the kids would fail, and that made the kids that failed feel bad, but at least the kids that were passing were learning things and achieving stuff. Now everybody passes and nobody learns. Everybody passes and nobody actually gets ahead or is educated. So I really worry that if we have a laboratory in the middle of deep blue Colorado, staffed by newly arrived Indians and Chinese people that cheated on their exams to get the positions that they're in, I worry if we maybe aren't juggling with nuclear bombs, if we aren't playing around with things that have the ability to kill millions of people, if not destroy the entire world, maybe we need to have higher standards across the board. And then things like bat laboratories wouldn't really be that big of a concern. Really, we have two things we have to deal with. The incompetence that is festering and growing and evolving right in front of us deliberately as laws are changed to guarantee that incompetent people are able to succeed where competent people will be prevented from doing so. But then we also have the evil people that are extremely competent and will make a bat virus, then leak it from a lab, make it look like an accident, then cover up the accident and convince everybody it came from a bat. So extremely competent. So we've got the incompetent to deal with and the extremely competent to deal with. Because it seems like the extremely competent only ever get to positions of power if they are competent and evil. And that's an issue. It's a really bad issue we have to deal with. And actually, on that note, let's go to Jimmy Dore, because I'm not sure how recent this clip was, but I think it's an interesting one, and one that just goes right to everything that we talk about. I love seeing awakening stories. I love seeing stories of people finding out something's a lie, and then they start pulling on that thread, and they realize everything's a lie. I love stories like this. The problem is, I want to be careful here because I don't want to insult members of our audience. But if you woke up in 2020, you're very, very, very late to the party. I'm sorry to tell you this. I'm glad you woke up. I'm glad you're here with us now. I was talking to a friend about this yesterday. It seems like people who woke up in 2020 are all kind of crazy. Like, if you were prepared for 2020, if you were ready for what 2020 brought ahead of time, if you'd been watching Alex Jones and InfoWars and you knew about the plans to release a virus, you knew about the plans to mandate vaccines and the vaccines would be death shots. Like, if you knew about all of that, then when it arrived, it was just like, well, here it is. And it all just folds and aligns perfectly with everything that you already knew about and already suspected. But if you're like a total normie and then suddenly COVID is the thing that wakes you up, I mean, how do you deal with that? Like, what is that like? Because I've had 20 years to wake up from the matrix to figure out how things get put together. If you woke up in 2020, I mean, but you're still like a socialist. Like, what does that mean? How does that work? So anyway, let's go to Jimmy Dore. We'll comment on the other side. Clip number two here. This is Jimmy Dore on the COVID era and what woke him up. Let's watch.
I got double jabbed with the Moderna. And what woke me up was that I got vaccine injured. And so I got put into a study on how to treat people who were vaccine injured from the COVID vax. And the first thing they gave me was ivermectin. And I said to the doctor, I'm like, hey, this is a horse paste. Why are you getting? And then he explained to me that, no, ivermectin is actually a wonder drug that won the Nobel Prize for Human Medicine. And so as soon as I got that ivermectin, I was like, well, if they're lying about this, what else are they lying about? And it turns out I started to look into it, and it turns out they were lying about everything. They lied about masks. They lied about herd immunity. They lied about natural immunity. They lied about lockdowns. They lied about the vaccine stopping transmission. They lied about the vaccine stopping contraction. There wasn't a thing they didn't lie about when it came to COVID, and nobody has to pay a price for that. And still people don't realize that they were lied to on such a grand scale, because I think it was such a big lie that they can't wrap their minds around it. And if people admit that they were lied to as much as they were about COVID, then they don't have to admit to themselves that they also acted like monsters. Uh-huh. and authoritarian Nazis, wanting people to get fired from their job for not taking an experimental medical treatment that has big side effects. And so they would have to admit that to themselves, and it would make them feel like horrible people. So instead, what most of those people do is they just ignore it and go, oh, COVID's over. And so they don't have to face it.
I mean, obviously he's exactly right. He's exactly right. And I mean, I think it's partly a coping mechanism, but like, I don't think it's conscious. I don't think it's people going, if all that was fake, then I was kind of a jerk. I think people just, they go, well, at the time we thought that was right. Whoopsies. I had my second Moderna shot last Saturday. I'm still experiencing flu-like symptoms, body aches, mild headaches, and waves of exhaustion that come out of nowhere. Should I be concerned that this is lasting a week? Anybody else have a similar experience? It's not very often you get to literally see the wake-up process happen. Remember, it wasn't even when he got vaccine injured. It was only when the doctor gave him ivermectin. Of course, we'd been screaming from the rooftops about ivermectin for months ahead of that. But do you understand, like, Jimmy Dore has the, like, say what you want about, obviously, we've had our differences with him in the past. I still think he's wrong about a bunch of stuff, but he's got the character. He's got the, you know, moral certitude to be able to admit that he's wrong, and then to be able to accept the implications of what that means. And that's the thing. That's the thing where people get scared and refuse to allow themselves to understand what they're really seeing with their own eyes. It's the Bill Hicks joke I always reference, where he's, you know, saying that if you really believe that the president killed, or, you know, JFK was murdered by the CIA, like, the implications of that are incredible. And you sort of have to admit, like, we're being ruled by complete and utter psychopaths. Like, that is such a big deal for people to have to deal with. Now people are more accepting of that. Now people, it's just sort of understood, like, yeah, okay, everybody is, like, deeply evil. But do you really understand it? Do you really understand that at some point the call went out, ivermectin must be discredited, and that the media participated in this knowingly, knowing that they were lying, and that it wasn't just one media outlet pushing a false story, it was the entire media apparatus with one voice all lying in unison? And do you realize that the doctors themselves were in on this, and the doctors themselves and pharmacists would refuse to give out ivermectin, even though they'd been selling it to humans for years before that? They knew it was perfectly safe. They knew it wasn't horse paste, but they all participated in this charade, in this deception, in this lie. Do you really understand what you've revealed? That these people aren't just wrong. They aren't just lying. They're lying in the pursuit of world domination. They are lying in a way that, if they're believed, will kill millions of people. They're not just engaged in a little game of partisanship where they cover up things that Republicans do that are good and make Democrats look better than they are. That's nothing. These people are lying to you about your bodily health. They're lying to you about things that will determine whether or not you live or die, whether you will see your children again. Like, they're so deeply, deeply evil and engaged in this knowingly in a giant conspiracy. I remember at the time going on big rants in 2021, 2022, going, they're all in on it. Yes, understand, they are all in on it. Your doctor down the road that's not prescribing you ivermectin, he's in on it. He should know better. He does know better. Why is he lying to you? Why is he withholding potentially life-saving medicine from you on the dictates of a television news program? I mean, when you really understand, when you really think about what happened during COVID, and, you know, he said these people, you know, will never come to terms with what they did because it will, you know, force them to admit that they were being tyrannical. Here's the thing we have to understand. I don't need them to understand that. They were tyrannical. They have to be punished. Okay? You know, my kids are young enough. They don't really quite understand, like, when they hurt their sibling. They're like, well, I just wanted to throw it at them. And it's like, well, but you hurt them. You have to, the kid has to be punished. The kid has to be made to understand what they did wrong. It's not like, well, he doesn't understand, so I guess it's fine that he hits his sister. Like, no, these people have to be punished. And we have to, like, not let this go by. I mean, there's so many other things that we're concerned about. Doctors are concerned over ivermectin's renewed popularity December 30th, 2025. NPR is still running stories trying to discredit ivermectin, the miracle drug. Okay. Okay. Yeah, they're all in on it. They're all in on it, folks. And do you understand the number of other things that the crew just put up? Like, hey, maybe shooting ourselves in the kneecap wasn't a great idea. Maybe destroying all of our nuclear power plants wasn't a great idea. Maybe encouraging radical leftist communists to go physically intervene in law enforcement activities to start a civil war to try to overthrow the duly elected president because you just don't like him very much and you get, you know, bad vibes from him. Like, maybe that's a bad idea too. Maybe all of these ideas are ridiculous and retarded. Maybe letting children decide that they want to change their gender and castrating themselves or mentally lobotomizing themselves with an entire host of pharmaceutical drugs. Maybe that's a bad idea too. Maybe all of these things are terrible ideas that we all know are terrible ideas, and yet the people pushing them are doing so knowingly and in control of the networks of communication. That means any objections are silenced. Maybe this is like a giant global conspiracy to poison and kill the human race that is being carried out by our mainstream media and our political class and the international community of the World Health Organization and the UN. And maybe they're doing it in a variety of different ways through immigration and control of the finances and censorship and medical interventions and any way that they can, possibly destroying our ability to even understand, let alone interact with the world around us, to the point where we're so dislocated we can't tell if men are men or women are women, or ivermectin is a horse paste for dogs, but it also won the Nobel Prize for how it treats humans. It's very simple. Understand that stupidity, ignorance is not an excuse. The doctor that refused to prescribe you ivermectin was participating in your usurpation and potentially your murder, and they did it willingly and knowingly. Oh, well, the TV said, okay, and? Like, that's sort of the modern version of I was just following orders. You didn't know it was wrong to shove a child into a gas chamber and turn the poison on? You were just following orders? No, that's not an excuse. Oh, you just decided that the wonder drug that you'd been prescribing for years, suddenly you weren't allowed to prescribe because CNN got mad at Joe Rogan? What are you talking about? So again, I mean, it's just, I know all of this just boils down to the simple phrase of like, Alex Jones was right. Do you understand the implications of that? But do you really understand what we're saying here? And do you understand yet that the whole concept of the New World Order, as you have the Bank of England, former governor, current Prime Minister of Canada, working with the Chinese Communist Party to establish, you know, trade networks to more efficiently offshore Canadian jobs and depress Canadian wages? Do you not see that this is the reason Alex Jones was kicked off, while more divisive and more incendiary people were allowed to stay on? Do you understand that we have had their number for decades? That's why they hate us. And we have had so much success because of you, because of our audience, because of the political reality that we have helped to manufacture, bring about, create, inspire, that they are having to change their tactics, that they're flailing, that we have defeated some of their grander, more ambitious plans, and now they're just trying to figure out how to keep the whole thing from collapsing. So now we have to push. Now we have to demand justice for the injustice that we've faced.
The sleeping giant that is humanity is rising.
They've sold out to it. They're blind and they're cowards. You don't want to be part of them. Like Patrick Henry said, forget you are our brethren. Go from us in peace. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you. Let your chains sit lightly upon you. As for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The truth is out there, and they don't want you to know it. There's still people that don't want to believe me out there. How are you going to tell me that Frog isn't totally gay?
Well, damn, I guess Alex was right. That frog was super gay.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.